This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America, tonight a plane is still missing. Donald Trump is ahead in one poll as far as the economy is concerned, and Democratic leaders are coming up with an offer to Sanders, maybe some kind of a convention concession. Do you think he'll settle for that? Let's start with the DNC, because the most cantankerous possibilities now, ironically, don't lie with the Republicans, can you believe it? Instead, with the Democrats. Hillary Clinton, once again, getting bagged. So, if she does not prevail this time around, forget it. That's it. All bets are off. Bernie Sanders shows no sign of giving in. So, are they going to have an ugly conflict, a showdown? A face-off at the convention in Philadelphia? Well, the DNC is going to offer a concession to Sanders, a seat on a key convention platform committee. I don't know if it's going to be enough to stop him from fighting over the way the party's policy positions are. Now, there's a push for Clinton and Sanders and Democratic leaders to meet some of Sanders' demands for bigger inclusion at the Philly convention. They're finalizing the details by the end of the week because they don't have much time. I mean, we're like 70 days out. Here's his issues. He's pushing for a $15 national minimum wage. He argues that the party needs a more balanced position regarding Israel and the Palestinians. It's a couple of them. Sanders' supporters have become convinced that national Democrats have stacked the political deck with rules that made it difficult for Sanders to win enough delegates to threaten Clinton's nomination. But party leaders are so frustrated with Sanders, they say he's fueled that perception. So this is a nightmare. This is a nightmare. Over the weekend, last weekend, there was a lot of problems caused by Sanders supporters who prompted the security to cut short the state party convention. It worried party leaders that the prolonged Democratic primary, looking to avoid drama in Philly and et cetera, that they've got to do something. They're on the clock. So, you know, I don't know. When I say I don't know, I think you would really have to give something chunky to Sanders for him to say, okay, I'm just going to brush this aside, because I don't think so. All right, quickly, let's go to Dan in the great state of Texas. Hi, Dan. Dan, I know you're there.
Hello, baby.
Hey, what's up, man?
Okay, listen, I got a theory about that plane.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, remember when the Russians had that school taken over by a bunch of insurgents that were anti-Russian? I mean, they were Muslims, blah, blah, blah. But the Russians let go of a gas that was noticeable by nose or anything, and all of a sudden the terrorists all went to sleep. They went in there and they just whacked them all.
Okay. Right.
Now, I think we're going to go into an era where things like that are going to start happening with planes. I think they could get this gas on board and release it through the air system that they use, and that the purification units wouldn't pick up that gas. It would just keep recycling it, and it would affect not only the people but the co-pilot and pilot as well, and zip. That's why you do a 360 turn around and then zip, no explosion, boom. I think that's what you'll find. It's just, boom, it's gone. Now, Next, talking about Hillary and all of that. Well, there is so much on Bill over his sex escapades in the past that's going to be hung around Hillary's neck that finally the pressure is going to get so great on her, and her numbers are going to keep dropping. She can barely raise a crowd now. They have to pay people to go to her events.
Yeah.
They really do. They have to pay people to go to her events, okay?
Yeah.
Now, listen, she's going to come down with a fake or maybe real, I have throat cancer, my doctors tell me it's terminal, I have to, for the good of my own survival, for the present, to try to beat this, check out. Now, then, Bernie, forget it, he'll have no chance. I mean, they're just not going to do Bernie. Who comes to the rescue? Joe Biden. Who does Joe pick as his running mate? Barack Obama. Who makes a very expensive walk for us to make money like gangbusters? Kate Delaney. This is going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to the future so much, but I think you will find that I'm right about the gas that took out the plane. I think you'll find that I'm right about Hillary claiming that her health is so imperiled that she has to drop out. Bernie, he will disappear either with a deal from the administration, say, look, it's like this. You can either keep on living and have your senator's job and be a supporter of this ticket, or you're not going to be around, period, because we will make sure that you have an accident.
Yeah. Boy, it's crazy stuff, Dana. There's no question about that. We're going to zoom over to, thanks for the call, Grim in Mississippi. Hey, Grim.
Ooh, I hope I don't get blown away here tonight.
Go for it.
Yeah, we got some serious thunderstorms going on. Got front.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah. You know how that goes. But,
yeah.
You like that last week's suggestion? Of course, Dan's right about one thing. Now, let me just say that. You know, the religion itself, either, you know, you convert or you get killed. You know, that's just their belief, but, you know, Muslim religion. But you enjoyed that movie that I suggested last week, Kate. Didn't you?
What movie? Which one?
The Formula.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, you know what? It's so funny. As soon as I got off the air, I told my husband about it. I was like, oh, great grim suggestion. I mean,
I got another.
Okay, what's another one?
This kind of goes back. Don't Google it or anything. Just check
okay.
it out. Because
check it out.
You can ruin the movie itself.
I know.
But the name of the movie is Soldier Blue. And you're going to see a liberal actress that's probably one of her first movies when she's about 19, Candace Bergen.
Really? And what's it called again?
Soldier Blue.
Soldier Blue. Okay. I wrote it down.
Let me say, it's real good. It's based off a historical fact. And
okay.
It's real good as far as a story plot that goes along to a historical fact. It's not really a historical fact movie. You'll catch that until the very end does it really get historical. And it's
Woo.
Not for the squeamish at the end.
All right. I wrote that on my list, Grim, and so did so many of the others. Thank you for the quick one. Stay with us. Coming up next, Diamonds, Mythical Places to Visit That Are Magical, supposedly, and the bathroom brouhaha from a different perspective. Stay with us.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 A girl's best friend. You remember that old song, Carol Channing? I think was the first one to do it. But regardless, I know you've heard the song. I don't care if you're 15 or if you're 80. So I like diamonds. I know some of you certainly have been shopping for diamonds, some of you guys that listen to this show. But how about pure grown diamonds? Have you heard about pure grown diamonds? And what does that mean? I think there's a confusion about what it means. And what's interesting is diamond production is going through the roof. They're talking about where it will actually scale up to. So it's perfect to have TJ Walker on with us. He's a spokesperson for Pure Grown Diamonds. And TJ, I guess that's the first question. If I say that to someone, they're like, oh, so that means pure grown, you must grow them in a lab. Am I right? How does that work?
Yes, they're grown in a laboratory. You start with a diamond seed, which is made of pure carbon. Oh. It's put in a greenhouse. It grows for 9 to 12 weeks, and then you cut the diamond, you polish it, you mount it, and it can get on your finger or your ear. It takes about 9 months from concept until you're wearing it. Here's the thing that I didn't even realize until I started working with the company. These are genuine diamonds. These are type 2A diamonds. Only 2% of all diamonds have that classification. So they're incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, you know, and when you, as what you just described, that process, what is the difference between a natural process, because that's going to be an obvious question, versus what you just described with the lab-grown process?
Well, there are a couple of big differences, but think of it this way. If someone gives you a beautiful lily or a beautiful rose, do you know if it was made in a greenhouse or in someone's backyard? Mm-hmm. They're both roses and lilies, and they can both be beautiful. So at some level, a diamond is a diamond. Now, there are some important differences. Number one, these are eco-grown. because the problem with mined diamonds, according to Frost and Sullivan, an international consulting firm, is there's 7 times the damage to the environment in a mined diamond. Think of mines and digging all the dirt, water, and air pollution. The other big issue, frankly, is all the social issues. Lab-grown diamonds are socially sustainable. A mined diamond, don't listen to me, listen to someone like Amnesty International. They've disclosed how so much of mined diamonds goes to fund civil wars, tyrants, child labor. Places like the Philippines, you have 11-year-olds forced to dive 60 feet deep with just a tube in their mouth, and kids die from this.
It's awful. And I think a lot of people saw, you know, if you saw the movie, what was it called, Blood Diamonds, that whole story. I mean, I know it's a movie, but it brought out a lot of what you're talking about, where some people weren't realizing what was going on with the mined diamonds.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people are asking themselves, especially millennials, if you're trying to, you know, put a spotlight on a major event in your life, starting a life, a marriage with someone, for example, why not do that with something that symbolizes love and peacefulness and something good for the environment, instead of something that involved destruction to the environment and destruction to people? The third big difference between mined diamonds and lab-grown diamonds is lab-grown diamonds are typically 30% less expensive, 30 to even 40%. So if you're getting a typical sort of one-carat engagement ring, a mined diamond might be $5,000. A lab-grown diamond is going to be more like $3,000. That's a couple $1,000s more for a honeymoon or a down payment for a house or a car or any other big expense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's a big difference, because you think of the markup on mined diamonds. So here's another question some would ask, I would think. You know, my brother used to joke that he'd see some women with huge diamonds, and he said, you know, you could cut someone's cheek with that. But how durable are the lab-grown diamonds compared to the mined diamonds?
There is literally no difference, because, again, they're both genuine diamonds. It's 99.95% pure carbon. It's 99.9% devoid of nitrogen. If you take it to a jeweler or a gemologist and they look at it underneath one of those glass things, they cannot tell the difference. Again, think of it as someone brings you beautiful roses or beautiful lilies. Can you tell if it was grown in a greenhouse versus someone's backyard? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. It's interesting, too, because I was sent some statistics on this, and there was a study, as you know, that was done by the PhD Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and they talk about, in this, the production of lab-grown diamonds, and they say it's going to scale up to 20 million carats by 2030. You mentioned millennials. Is that part of the reason why?
Yes. Increasingly these days, millennials really don't want to be associated with something that's wildly destructive to the environment, the way mined diamonds are. They don't really want their money going directly or indirectly to support the tyrants, dictators, and child labor. So that's one of the huge attractions driving the increase in lab-grown diamonds and the pure-grown diamonds. The other factor, frankly, is just there's an increased world demand. People in China and the rest of the world see the United States, and they see old Elizabeth Taylor movies and new movies, too, and people like diamonds. And as more and more of the world enters the middle class, they want the things American middle class people have, which is diamond rings, diamond earrings, etc.
Yeah, with the with the lab grown diamonds, is it still the same thing where I can shop? Okay, it's already been grown, and I'm just shopping what kind of cut I want, what kind of clarity and color, and what you would normally do with diamonds.
Sure, these come in brilliant and emerald cuts, princess cuts. They come in fancy pink, bright yellow, colorless or white. And the best thing is to just go to a local jeweler you know and respect. And if they don't have pure-grown diamonds, They can get them for you. If you want to make sure before you start driving around town, you can always go to puregrowndiamonds.com and type in your address, and the website will tell you the closest jeweler to where you live that carries lab-grown and pure-grown diamonds.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Have you ever, I think it'd be cool to see it go from the, to be in that lab, frankly, and to see it go from when it's being grown to the end product. I mean, that would be neat to watch that process. Have you seen the process?
I haven't, but again, we're talking about, the whole process is about 9 months long.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
process in the greenhouse is 9 to 12 weeks. So
wow.
The process is interesting. As far as looking at any one second, it's, it is a slow process.
Yeah, slow process, but it has to be really cool to see that. All right, we're going to get the show somewhere where we can get near the watching the diamonds grow. I think that would be a whole lot of fun. Do you have a favorite cut of diamond? Princess cut, right?
I have purchased princess cut and brilliant cut myself.
I know, it's so complicated. All right, a lot of fun. TJ, thanks so much, TJ Walker.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Wow, interesting talking to TJ about it. I know, I'm fascinated by this whole process. You heard me mention to him how I'd love to see the process from the very beginning. I mean, in my head, it's like planting carrots, it's like planting something in this lab, watching it grow, and then, as he said, the whole greenhouse part. I think the significance here is the key things he said. Younger people want nothing to do with the mined diamonds, and that means a lot of what Amnesty International did, that movie Blood Diamond, the awareness of what was happening really is starting to hit home with some people. And you talk about the demand for diamonds by 2030 to be 221 million carats. That's pretty big, and how much of that is we're talking about that's going to be grown is so interesting. And I think that this will just continue to ratchet up. I mean, I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger by comparison. And again, especially when you talk about the whole mine diamonds thing versus that very cool, very, very, very cool thing of lab-grown diamonds that are exactly the same. So there's no difference whatsoever between the two. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent, and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Do you have dry hands or itchy, peeling skin? Are your cracked feet in need of a makeover for sandal season? Hi, my name is Diane Cook, the creator of B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream. B-Spa is all natural, 16% beeswax, marigold extract, and other essential oils and nutrients. B-Spa is great for exceptionally dry hands and feet, but B-Spa can be used anywhere on the body. I am sure you will see a difference overnight. B-Spa is the only cream you will ever need. The convenient 2.5-ounce size jar travels nicely and a little goes a long way. B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream costs $29.99. Use promotion code 101 for free shipping. Order B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream today at bespa.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you are having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682. 1682.
Have on the show than a glass ceiling breaker, Sherry Wilson. She was the first female firefighter paramedic in the Dallas Fire Rescue Department. Wow, imagine what that was like. So excited to have her on the show. She's got a book out called Faith on Fire, The First Ingredient of a Miracle is an Impossible Situation. I bet a lot of people listening to us across the country can relate to that. Sherry, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
So you got to take us back to the very beginning of this. First of all, what made you want to go into this profession?
Well, I wasn't really sure that this was what I wanted, but I was working for an ambulance company. I knew I wanted to save lives. But the reason I applied for the fire department was because a man told me I couldn't.
Always a good ingredient, an elixir to ignite a woman's passion for a job, yes.
He said, you can't do that. You're a woman. He goes, you're stupid. Women can't be firefighters. And I went, oh, well, I went home. I tossed and turned in the bed that night. I was really angry. I was on shift. I went home, took a shower, found my college transcript, walked into the Dallas Fire Department, and within a couple months, going through the processes, I was hired.
Wow. And what was it like the very first time when you put on the gear, learned all the ropes, all that kind of, all the kind of things that go into becoming a firefighter combined with what you were doing? What was that like when that first happened for you?
Well, I mean, out at the academy, it was all a training ground. But the very first really big fire, I just remember my heart pounding. And I was, you know, back in that day, we could stand up on the sides of the apparatus. And this fireman that I was riding with, he looked over at me. And I think he could see as we were coming up over this bridge, it looked like the sun was coming up. and I had a panic look on my face. And he looked at me and he pointed and he said, his exact words were, "Girl, that fire's already out. You hear me?" And I just went, okay. And we went in there. That was the faith on fire attitude. They didn't look at a fire and go, "Oh my God, what are we going to do?" They had this attitude that was going to win no matter what. And it just stuck with me and it resonated through my entire life. And it ultimately helped me finish nearly 35 years in my career.
Wow. And that, and from that scary moment, there had to be others. The first fire you jumped into the middle of where you thought, boy, am I, did you ever have that thought? Like you said, the winning attitude, did you ever have the thought, "I hope I get out of here. I have a family. I can't believe this." Did you ever once have that thought?
Well, there's times that you do what we call following the hose. You hope the hell the hose going out of the fire instead of to the fire. And so, yeah, I had a few of those. I think the scariest was we went into an old building in downtown Dallas, and it had served many a purposes, but we went up the stairwells, and I was one of the last to go up the stairwell, and I fell through the stairwell. Thank God my butt stopped me from going all the way through. And I was sitting there going, "Oh, God, help me." You know, I was expecting angels. They appeared in bunker gear. And over a period of time, they were able to dislodge me and get me out of there. And I ended up taking a few shifts off. But when I came back, they were like, "She's back." They really thought it would have done me in.
Wow.
And so I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. And before you knew it, gear done.
Yeah, yeah. And what people don't realize is how much does all that gear weigh? This is not an easy task.
I don't know. Probably close to 50 pounds, maybe. I mean, without a mask, it's probably more like 25, 30. But with a mask, it's a little heavier. And they were heavier back in the old day. We used to have old steel tanks, and then finally we went to aluminum and fiberglass, and they were a little bit lighter and easier and more ergonomically comfortable. But, you kind of felt like a pack mule at times. But the gear wasn't the hardest thing. The hardest thing for me were tarps.
Tarps? Why were tarps hard?
Because they are so freaking heavy, and you usually carry two of them. And if you carry them up into a high-rise building, I mean, it's just, it doesn't sound like much, but that and the high-rise bag were the two hardest things to do, the two very hardest things.
Wow. So, crazy. I've spent some time, I was in New York when 9/11 happened, and I had friends who were firefighters, and I spent a lot of time, in my life I've spent time around firefighters, people who do it for a living, and people who are volunteer, and I think one of the hardest things is they never want to lose anybody, and going into a fire where they just can't, you know, where they can't save somebody, or they find somebody was in a back room and it's too late, everything explodes. Did you ever have an experience like that?
Well, I was involved in the 9/11 saga in a way. One, because I was a firefighter. Two, I had just dropped my son off at West Point a month before, and we had done the towers. We had eaten at Windows on the World. We had, you know, bought our little Christmas ornaments and things. And then to have my son near all of that was very stressful. That was a really hard time for firefighters. And the very first shift back, our lieutenant sat us down and he said, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do? We are now the first line of defense for the homeland. You know, our military's over doing what they're doing. Here in America, something hits. We're the first line of defense. What are you going to do? Are you going to go up them stairs just like those firefighters?" And it was funny because it was like a calling to all of us. And, you know, we all made the choice that we were going to keep doing it. We weren't going to be stopped by whatever was out there. Our rules of engagement changed. As a driver engineer, a lot of times I got stuck out with the apparatus instead of in the middle of whatever they were doing, because we were afraid they were going to use our apparatus as some kind of weapon, and so we had to, you know, maintain control a bit. I mean, a lot of things happened because of that. I studied that to the point that, I mean, I had to quit watching it because, you know, we were looking at how the building fell and, you know, how can we, you know, because I really was not expecting those buildings to fall. And so we've gone through a lot of extensive, you know, trying to figure out what happened, how did it happen, what could prevent that in the future. And sometimes I say, stick a fork in me, I'm done. I'm glad it's over with. But I loved what I did. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, once a firefighter, you'll always be a firefighter.
Oh, I hear you on that, knowing so many people who have retired from the fire department and, as I said, have been in it. One thing I know about fire departments is the sense of humor is crazy insane. When I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I was a television anchor, and, of course, I got to know a lot of the firemen. And they had a nickname for me. They used to call me Chipmunk.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I mean, and they meant it lovingly because they would really gave me some good inside scoop. And it was just so funny. Like one time accidentally I was interviewing the chief and he was so comfortable with me. He said, "That's right, Chipmunk." And I cannot tell you the letters I got at the station from people about that nickname wanting to know what do they mean by that? So you talk about in your book, you talk about the fire department poop sheet. Tell us what a poop sheet is.
Oh, it's pretty much. Oh, God, you read that part, huh?
Uh-huh.
It was just a tool to lighten the load, so to speak. We called it agitation, and the poop sheet is pretty powerful. You know, words are very powerful. Once you put them out there, they're out there. And of course, you know, there was numerous. I actually have files of poop sheets from over the years, and if it's not a poop sheet, it's a cartoon where, you know, they've put your face in there and you know, had something humorous to say. So yeah, we had a lot of those, and I'm a writer, so you know, I couldn't really fight a lot of the battles that were there, so I did it with my poop sheet, and I was pretty destructive with it at times. I mean, there was a few of them that got really quiet, and when they got really quiet, I knew it was time to kind of back off.
Yeah.
But I made my point. I mean, I learned to play those games just as good as they did, and in some cases, a little bit better. I'm not really proud of all of it, but I learned a lot of lessons, and I grew from it, and the fire department seems to be a lot gentler today than it was, but there's always a little bit of cordial hypocrisy, so to speak, going on, you know, people gesturing and posturing to be bigger than the other or better than the other or whatever. I mean, there's just that John Wayne attitude.
Yeah, it's playing the dozens, and you just did it on a sheet, and it was, you know, sarcastic or ripping on somebody's the way they dressed or groomed themselves or whatever it is. As you say, it's a way to, in a weird way, to keep score or do the John Wayne kind of thing for sure. Do you think more women will become firefighters? Have we seen the advent of, hey, now if you can do it, then we want you? Has it gotten better?
Oh, I think it's gotten a lot better. There's nearly 100 in our department now, and I'm going to tell you, I'm a betting woman, and I bet that the next chief will be a woman.
Really?
I would follow this one girl anywhere, but there's three or four of them that are absolutely qualified, have got the thing that's so unique about it is that, and it's how I stay connected to the department is through my friends, and they have the respect of the men. I mean, that's how good they are at this job, and so it's really exciting to see.
Well, that's cool, especially like you said, they're that good at the job. All right, Faith on Fire is the book. Sherry Wilson wrote the book. She's the author. And to get a copy of it, can we go to Amazon?
You can go to Amazon or you can go to faithonfire.com.
Awesome. Sherry Wilson, it's been a delight. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Bye, fire. registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs ensures he gets the best use of his mineral supplements by using Longevity's Ultimate Enzymes.
If you start a nutritional supplement program and you find that you get loose stools more than you get any benefits from the supplements, there's a good chance that you're not absorbing the minerals. Now, here's the thing about minerals and mineral absorption. You need to have a functioning fat system. You need to have functioning bile. You need to have a well-functioning liver and a well-functioning gallbladder in order to get the benefits from nutritional supplements with minerals. It's very common that as we get older, we don't absorb fats, we don't utilize fats, and then you won't be utilizing or absorbing minerals either. I would be getting on the Ultimate Enzymes from Longevity. I'd be making sure I was taking it with all my meals.
To get optimal use of your nutritional supplements, order Ultimate Enzymes from Longevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
There's gonna be a lot of signings in our virtual green room right now. I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He's the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to ericpetersautos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we gotta go along with biodiesel, or we gotta go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables, but if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If there's such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels. And as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol and biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Well, ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85. Which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at, but that could be a disaster too as well for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that, what I call the second-hand market, when we're talking about like used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, and to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right. I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2750 that was made in the early mid 70s, and they were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry Hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids, and what does that mean, and should I get a hybrid, and how much does it cost to me, and what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find, now, I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry Hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of the hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural Southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yep.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that, but one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates, but when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it, something like about half the eligible voter pool votes, so that's about 50%, and then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
paid non-attorney spokesperson. Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.